like to read, please, in the first of all, in the book of the Psalms, in chapter 14. It's about the middle of our Bible. The book of the Psalms in chapter 14. And we'll read at verse 1. Psalm chapter 14, and reading at verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside, they are altogether become filthy, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Do eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? Now we'll turn over to the Gospel of John. Again, John's Gospel in chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, and we'll read verse 11. John 1 and verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Then towards the back of our Bible, the first epistle of John. 1 John and chapter 3. The third last book in the Bible, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. So it's 1 John, 1st epistle of John, chapter 3, and verse 16. 1 John 3 and verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then a final verse is in Hebrews chapter 1. Final reading, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now the Lord will bless, I'm sure, what we've heard already tonight, and we've heard enough already tonight, that any person in this gathering, if you're not saved, you've heard enough tonight, that could save this whole gathering, or in fact save this whole city of Vancouver, if the case were that they were listening to the gospel. But anyway, we trust that the Lord will give help for a few moments in the closing prayer. From these four scriptures, I want to think very simply tonight in Psalms chapter 14, the Lord looked down from heaven. It says the Lord looked down, and so I want to think of him looking down. Then when we come to John chapter 1, I want to think of him coming down. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so he came down. He came down from heaven. Then when we come to 1 John chapter 3, it says that there that he laid down. He laid down his life for us. He displayed his love to a world of sinners lost, and he displayed his love by laying down his life. And then in Hebrews chapter 1, he sat down. When he had finished the work, he sat down. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so we want to present tonight, very simply, the person of the Lord Jesus. In heaven, And he came down from heaven, and he laid down his life on the cross of Calvary, and tonight he sits at God's right hand in heaven, because, friend, the work that he did on the cross of Calvary is a finished work. There's nothing can be added to it, and there's nothing can be taken from it, and every person, every soul that's going to be in heaven is going to be in heaven because of a work that has been finished by the Lord Jesus. That's why, as we've been reminded in the preaching of the gospel, man needs to understand their need. That's why I think in Psalm chapter 14, as the Lord looks down from heaven, you know, when the Lord looks down from heaven, as he is doing tonight, as he did in Psalm 14, and as he is doing tonight in 1996, he looks down from heaven, and he doesn't look as you and I look. You and I look on the outside. And we generally judge a person by what we see on the outside. But you know, God goes right past the outside, and he looks right into the heart of the individual, the man, the woman, or the boy or the girl. And he looks right into your heart tonight, and he looks right into my heart tonight. And so he goes right past the outside with all the things that we put on the outside, and the way that we dress up the outside, and the way we try to look as far as other people would see us. But you know, we may fool every other person, and we may fool a preacher, and we may fool our neighbor, or our wife, or our husband, or our parents, or the laws of the land even. We may fool them, but there is one person that is an impossibility to fool. And sooner or later, we are going to meet with that person. And that person, friend, is the Lord God of heaven. And he looks right past the outside of every person, and he looks right into the heart. And so he looks into your heart tonight. That's why we read, the fool has said, in his heart there is no God. He never said it with his lips. In Psalm 14, it's not with his lip. He doesn't say, why, there's no God. I don't believe there's God, although there's some people that do that. There are people who will, because everything is going well, they will say, why, there's no God. I don't believe in God. But I want to tell you, you put that person's back against the wall. You put that individual into a situation where he can't handle it, or he can't control it. Put that person out in the ocean here, off of Vancouver, and there's no life jacket, and there's no boat, and the man or the woman is going down, or she's going down, and she's sinking beneath the waves, and her life or his life is going into eternity. I want to tell you, friend, it doesn't take a person long then to cry, oh God, save me, or oh God, help me, or oh God, I need to get out of this circumstance. When our back is against the wall, that changes the whole picture. When everything is going well, you know, we can say a lot when everything is going well, and we can even talk against God when everything is going our way seemingly. But God says, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. You know, I think of a person tonight in this meeting in their heart, if you're not saved tonight, you're actually, as you sit in this gospel meeting, you're actually, in a sense, acknowledging no God. If you understood there is a God and you're going to have to face God and meet God, why, you would be in a hurry to get saved. When I came face to face with the great eternity, you know, the Lord's coming wasn't something that really disturbed me so much. A lot of people get disturbed with the Lord's coming, and well, they might. My little girl, I can remember if we was to a conference when she was probably 10 or 11, maybe 12 years old, or to a gospel meeting, well, about the midnight hours, maybe 2 or 3 in the morning, you would hear her begin to cry. Why? And she would cry in a terrible cry. And of course, we jump out of bed and go out to the room and wake her out of her sleep, and she would weep to break her heart. She would cry. She said, I was dreaming the Lord had come, and Mom and Dad, you and Mom were gone, and I was left behind. And she said, what an awful thing. And she would weep to break her heart. And so read the Bible to her, pray with her, and you have to be careful you didn't say something that she would grab onto in a time like that. And I can remember that went on for for over a period of maybe a year or more, waking out of her sleep. Why, the Lord has come, and Mom and Dad is gone, and I'm left behind. Why, that should stir the heart of an individual, a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, if you're not saved, friend, and the Christian's gone, and you to be left behind for certain judgment, why, that's a solemn thing that should stir the heart of the individual. But you know, that really didn't bother me too much. The thing that bothered me was death. Death was something that used to grip my soul. And I suppose I can remember the first time that I witnessed death. We were working in the lumber camp, and we used to stay in the lumber camp on the weekends and different nights. One of the men that was in that lumber camp, an ungodly man, had no thought of God or no care for God. And all his biggest interest was with us young fellas. He would bring things into that lumber camp and introduce to us as young fellas, and he would get a kick out of that. Well, I can remember we were working one day alongside the road, and the truck driver comes by and he says, "You better come back quick. Ensley's been hurt." And so we rushed back into the woods where Ensley was chopping. And the fellow that was yarding, the fellow yarding with the horse, he was sitting on a stump. Ensley was lying on the ground. We thought he'd been cut with a chainsaw. But you know, there wasn't a mark on him. And he was just lying there with his cap under his head and not a mark on him. But you know something? He was gone out into eternity. Instantly, a little stub fell out of the tree that he was falling down, and it hit him right on the point of the, on the top of the head, and broke his neck, and instantly went into eternity. We got the old bedspread spring out of the camp that he slept on. We loaded him onto the bedspread and carried him out of the woods onto the back of the, put him on the back of the truck, and took him 5 miles out of the woods where we were working. And I thought of death, and I looked into the face of a man who was instantly taken into eternity, and my soul was stirred. And then I saw a boy, a young man, come along, the son of Ensley, and put his arms around his dad and began to weep to break his heart. His dad was gone instantly, taken into eternity. You know what I thought after, as I watched that scene, and I stood back with an awe in my soul? I thought to myself, you know, David, if that was you on the back of that truck instead of Ensley, that would be your dad weeping his heart out for you because you're not saved. And as a young man, that made such an impression on my soul, even though I didn't get saved right away. For years down the road, I didn't get saved. But that created an impression on my soul. David, if that was your body in the back of that truck, and your soul had taken its flight into that great eternity of when you'll never come back, no more reruns, no second chance, your dad would weep and break his heart. For your soul would be eternally lost. Hell and the lake of fire for the eternal ages. And I knew, friend, that my dad had an earnest and longing desire that I might be saved. He would have given his right arm if we as his children would get saved. My dad would do anything. I can remember nights of him out searching for some of the children because they weren't home, looking for them to keep them from going astray and going away and not coming back. I want to tell you, friend, it's a real thing. And my dad had an interest in our soul, and I knew it. But I want to tell you, God in heaven has a far greater interest in your soul tonight. And he looks down from heaven, and he looks down tonight. You know what he's looking for? To see if there's any that understands. Understands what? Understands their condition before God. Is there any in this meeting that would understand your true condition tonight before God? We've been reminded very plainly tonight already of our standing, how we stand in the sight of God. God says, the Bible declares, from the top of the head to the sole of the foot, that there's no soundness in it whatsoever. Every one of us in this meeting, friend, in the face of God, must hang our heads. Our sins that have separated us from God, our sin that is that is taking us away from God and taking us down to hell as fast as time can carry us. Every tick of the clock, friend, is taking us 1 minute closer to the great eternity, your eternity. And that's what we're interested in tonight, because it's your soul. It's your soul for eternity somewhere. And if this night was your last night, I wonder, where would your soul be? If death came knocking on your heart's door, we were having meetings last summer, just like this, in a big build-up place on the outskirts of Halifax. Actually, it was in a ball field, right in the community, and we had one little corner of the ball field, and they were playing ball just out off from the tent, and we were preaching the gospel. Up the road, just a few hundred yards up the road, three young people. They left home, they came down to the bus stop, and they were waiting in the bus stop for the bus. They were going to a movie. And they got tired of waiting in the bus stop, so they went over and they sat down on the grass right beside the bus stop. And a young man driving a powerful car came up to the stop, to the lights, and they stopped. And when he was leaving those lights, he just put that pedal to the metal, as they say, on that powerful car, and he lost control. Who would ever think that would happen on the streets of Halifax? And he lost control of the car, and he went over the separation on the two highways, up over the sidewalk, and plowed into those young people sitting on the grass, waiting for the bus to come. Two young girls. One was 14, I believe, and one was 15, sisters in one family. And he took their lives into eternity instantly. And the young man, he crippled him up a bit, but he lived. And I tell you what a shock that must have been. Two girls, they leave the home. They say goodbye to mom and dad. They're going out to the movie for a little while, and then they're going to return. And little did they realize, never to come back anymore. The last time they would look into the face of their daughters, two girls, two sisters, and they were ushered into eternity. Can it happen? I tell you, it can happen so quick. Even in ways that we could never think of. Why, you would never dream of that happening. And yet they're in eternity tonight. Well, I ask you, friend, in this meeting, do you understand your need of God's salvation? Do you understand tonight the shortness of your life? Do you understand tonight how quickly your little life could come to an end and you could go out into that great, great eternity never to come back anymore? Well, the Lord looks down from heaven to see if there's any that understands. Not only that, but he looks down to see if there's any seeking God. And I wonder tonight, would there be a person in this meeting seeking God? I wonder if there's anybody, if we went up and down these rows tonight, I wonder, and were to ask you personally, would you like to be saved, friend? Woman tonight, would you like to be saved in this meeting? Would you like to know for sure that you're going to be in heaven when your journey of life is over? And if things were to change tonight and the Lord was to come tonight, would you like to know for sure that you're going to go when the Lord comes? And if we were to ask you, man, tonight in the meeting, would you like to, are you seeking God tonight? Would you like to have your sins forgiven? Well, the Lord is looking down. And you know what the Lord does? He looks right past what we can see. We can only see your expression. But you know, the Lord looks right into your heart. And he knows whether you are seeking him or not. We trust that you are. But you know, as the Lord looked down from heaven, do you know what happened? He came down. In John chapter 1, the Lord Jesus came down from heaven. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And out of love for a world of sinners, out of a love for a world that hated God, out of love for a world that was going to despise and reject him, out of love for a world that was going to cry away with this man, crucify him, will not have this man to reign over us. And even though he knew what was going to happen in his life, what was going to take place, yet out of love for sinful man, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. And he came, friend, that he might go to the cross of Calvary and suffer, bleed, and die. And the Bible tells us God spared not his own son. The Lord Jesus came from heaven. God willingly gave his son, the Lord Jesus, to the cross of Calvary. And he suffered, and he bled, and he died on the cross, that you and I, as guilty sinners, might be saved. And you know, tonight, out of love for your soul, the Lord Jesus died on the cross. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A man was talking with a college student one day, or many times actually, and telling him the way of salvation, and pointing out to him his need of salvation, and that Christ died that he might have salvation. Well, he says, you know, if my name was in that Bible, he says, I could accept it if it was my name in there. But he says, you know, how do I know it's for me? He was complicating the whole thing. Well, one day the man was there, and on the wall in that room was a CNR timetable. I don't know what it would be out here, but it was a train timetable anyway. At the bottom of that CNR timetable was these words: all children under 6 travel free. The man said to the young fellow, he says, what does that sign say there on the bottom of that timetable? Well, he says, all children under 6 travel free. Well, he said, what does that mean? Well, he says, if you're not under 6 years of age, you travel free on the train. Well, he said, if you were 5 years old and you went down to the train station to go wherever, how much would it cost you to go? Oh, he said, it wouldn't cost me anything. Well, he said, how do you know it wouldn't cost you anything? Well, it says all children under 6 travel free. That's the policy of CNR. Yeah, but he says it doesn't have your name there. If it doesn't have your name there, how would you know it meant you? Well, he says, but it's all everybody. If you're under 6 years of age, all children under 6 travel free. So if you're under 6, that means whoever. Well, a man said, you know, when God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means everybody. That means every person. There's no age limit. You don't have to be under certain age. That takes in the whole world. And friend, tonight in this gospel meeting, God's salvation takes in every person. The offer goes out to every person. Down this side of the hall here tonight, man, woman, boy or girl, the offer goes out to, is extended to you tonight by the God of heaven. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The same on this side of the building. That offer, the offer from God tonight, because the Lord Jesus came down from heaven. He didn't have to come, but he did come voluntarily that he might go to the cross. And 1 John chapter 3, hereby perceive we the love of God. How do we perceive or understand or see the love of God from his life? For us at Calvary, at Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus laid down his life, lifted up between heaven and earth, nails in his hands and in his feet. Why, the crown of thorns upon his head, his back bleeding where they had laid that Roman lash. And yet, friend, that was nothing. That was only what man could do to the Lord Jesus. But I want to tell you that at Calvary he suffered at the hand of God. And he bore the sin of a guilty world. And he paid the price whereby every individual might be saved. And he opened the door that every person could enter in. And all he expects and asks of us tonight, friend, is that we might enter through that open door. One man has said, nothing more is needed, and nothing less will do. You must come God's way. And the Lord Jesus on the cross suffered, bled, and died. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That was at Calvary that he died for you and me. And then lastly, he sat down. Died on the cross, put in the tomb. Up from the grave he arose. Do you know why he rose from the dead? Because God proved to you and I tonight, to the whole world, that he is satisfied with the work that he did at Calvary. And he raised him from the dead, the Bible says. And the Lord Jesus, some days later, he went up into heaven. And they watched him as he went up. And the angel said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come again in like manner as you see him go." And you know where he went? He went up to heaven and he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high after he had made provision to meet our need of salvation. And he sits at God's right hand tonight. And because he lives, friend, he offers salvation to you and to me. That's why you can have salvation tonight. That's why God in his mercy saved me. That's why there was salvation provided. Because of his death on the cross, because of his resurrection, and because he lives, that's proof, friend, positive, that there's salvation offered free, without money and without price. It's all done. The work is completed. God, tonight I've often thought, you know, God looks down upon the sinner, and he can pardon the sinner, because as he looks at the Lord Jesus, he sees the prints of the nails in his hands and feet, the spear wound in his side, proof of Calvary. And when he looks at his son, when he looks at Christ, why, he can pardon the sinner on the ground of the work that he did. He's satisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus, so much so that he'll accept nothing else. The work that Jesus did, friend, is sufficient to meet the need of the whole world. Sufficient to meet your need tonight? Well, I want to tell you, friend, many in this company have rested their all for eternity on the work of the Lord Jesus. Do you know what God desires tonight as he looks down from heaven? Is that you as an individual might rest upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God grant that you might even tonight trust him, for tomorrow may be too late. Now we'll pray. Father, we bow tonight and thank thee for the privilege again of listening to thy word. We've been reminded of solemn things. God the Creator, who in the beginning created the heaven and the earth, and we're accountable and responsible to him tonight. We thank our Father of the commandments that we've been reminded of, and shows us just how far we've gone astray from God. And yet we thank thee for the great truth that he loved us so much that he gave his son to suffer, bleed, and die at the place called Calvary. Bless thy word. Exalt thy son. Save some precious soul tonight, we pray. For we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sing a verse of a hymn together in closing, number 89. We'll sing the last verse of hymn number 89, and the meeting is over. Again, we certainly appreciate each one that has come along to the meeting. Our interest would be for your spiritual blessing and benefit. And friend, if you're not saved, we trust that you might make God's salvation a number one priority in your life. And if there's anything that we could do to help, if you'd like a little chat or a little talk, then we'd only be too happy. There's a number of brethren here, of course, that could be only too happy to speak with you. We can't save anybody. It's impossible. It's only God that can save. But perhaps we could remove a few obstacles in the way. So if you'd like to have a conversation, well, you could make that known. And I'm sure there's time and room here at the building for a quiet talk. And then the meetings continue each night throughout the week till Friday night, Lord willing, at 8 o'clock. The last verse of hymn number 89.